Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for the word of God that we are about to share. The Bible says the entrance of thy word gives light. And this morning, Lord, let this word bring the light into our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, the Bible also says that if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. And so this morning we declare the oracles of God in the mighty name of Jesus to your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm just going to speak for a few minutes on the subject of the dynamic duo. Faith and praise. And before we get through here today, well, we're going to praise the Lord some more. See, but I'm speaking this morning on the subject of the dynamic duo. You know, it's like an unbeatable combination, is what it is. And we're going to show from the scriptures for just a few minutes the subject of faith and praise. Now, faith, in order to be valid, must be based on the Word of God. Faith, in order to be valid, must be based on the Word of God. Faith is even the foundation of our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we are told that by grace are we saved. Through faith. See? Now you cannot do anything at all except by faith. And even in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. Now the subject is the dynamic duo, faith and praise. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, I'm sure you've read this chapter many times. By faith, Enoch, verse 5, was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible. Now, there are a few things in the Bible that God says is impossible. This is one of them. See, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. He gives it point blank. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, we see that without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Now, I will be speaking this morning on how faith works. And it's like the dynamics of faith. See? And then, we're going to the companion of faith, which is praise, because sometimes faith alone cannot get the job done. And then that's when praise gets in there, and so forth like that. You know, but if you can catch this subject. Now, why am I preaching on this morning? I mean, faith seems like such a rudimentary and elementary subject. It's foundational. Here's the reason. You know, because I've been seeking the Lord and asking him. And I said, Lord, you know, in this church, in every church, there has to be some culture, see. And, I mean, there's got to be something, you know. And, you know, I've been saying, Lord, what is it, you know, and so forth. And the Lord said, faith, you know. I said, faith, you know. And I, you know, the Lord, see, he, all your life, you know, there's always something that the Lord, he prepares you for, see. And all my life, to the glory of God, he's always that element. And every one of us has that faith. See? And the Lord said, yes, that's the faith with my praises. You know. So we're going to try to bring attention to this subject this morning. I mean, we've preached on every subject here in this church. On righteousness, you know, on all of these things and so forth. But to this morning, we want to bring attention to the message on faith and praise together. And we want people to think about it, because I'm gonna challenge you when you leave here today how to carry this faith. It's not just a sermon for the church this morning and then when we go, that's it. No, this is something that we want it to be a part of your lives. You know, I mean, we want there to be something unique, see, about you, you know, and so forth like that. And that's the faith. Because without faith, it is impossible. You cannot do anything. God cannot even answer your prayers without faith. How many of you know that's true? He won't answer your prayers and so forth. It's not exactly prayer that God answers. It is faith. You know, and if there is no faith, then, you know, we can't achieve anything. The Lord is not pleased without faith. So, I want you to turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to read a couple of verses to explain the dynamics of faith. I'm going to read verses 31 and 32. But before I do that, I want to read verse 58 of the same chapter. Just to show you that faith, you know, is the foundation for God doing anything. And He can't do anything if there's no faith. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, it says, "And Jesus," see, "He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." I mean, can you imagine Jesus not being able to do some mighty works? You know, He couldn't do mighty works in this particular place because of their unbelief. Now you say, unbelief? Yes, that's the opposite of faith. You know, so today we want to show you how to use this faith. And then we're going to show the second element. You know, remember, this is the subject on dynamic duo. It's twofold, faith and praise. Now, so Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31 is the place I want to read. "And another parable," I told you, I love these parables, "He put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed," and you've heard me preach on this before, "which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and it becometh a tree, so that even the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of her." Say, what has that got to do with faith? Well, here's what it has to do with faith. I am going to show in this message the elements that are involved in how faith works. You've heard many preachers preach this subject on seed faith and so forth, and they talk about that when they want to collect some money from you. That's not what I'm talking about today, you know. But I'm going to use this sowing, the seeding, and the harvesting to explain this process of faith. That's why I'm reading this chapter. So here's what I want to do. There are four or five parts of this that I want to talk about this morning. And I want you to take notes of this. Because this is the subject of how faith works. This is faith dynamics, if you want to look at it that way. Before we get into the praise part. The first element of this planting, you know, and becoming great thing, a little seed and so forth, is this. There is this seed. That's the first element. See, there are many elements in this thing. But there is the seed, and I'm going to take your attention away for a minute from this scripture, but just think about it. When you want to plant anything, you've got to have a seed. And then there is the soil, you know, you plant the seed in the soil, and generally, you know, you don't go plant the seed in some unfertile soil. You look for fertile ground, and sometimes you have to put some fertilizers and so forth like that to make the ground, you know, ready for planting. And when you plant, then you got to water it a little bit, you know, and then the sunshine has to be there also, and all of this, so various elements of this thing before you get the harvest. So here it is. The seed is the word of God. Now, every promise, I mean, everything, for, you know, for everything, you need to find a promise in the scriptures. Now, you can use your faith, but if it's outside the word of God, we don't know that it will work or it wouldn't work. We don't know that. But if it's based on the word of God, it will work every time. See? So, the first thing to do, now, in this case, the seed, see, and then the soil. We're going to explain how that works. The seed here that we want you to plant will be your faith. And the soil where you're going to plant it is in the Word of God. See? And then, of course, there's always the water. Then there's always the sunshine and so forth like that. And when you plant, you have to water it. You know, that's where the praise comes in. And then the sunshine, that's like a positive outlook. You know, you're just going about, you say, you know, I'm the father of nations, when you don't even have a child, see. You know, when your wife is barren and you are almost 75 years old, your name is Abraham, and the Lord, he spoke to you that you will become the father of nations, and you don't even have a single child. And you go about, you change your name. You change your outlook and you say, I am going to be the father of nations. You have that positive outlook. That's the sunshine that comes in there. And you go about, you confess that word with a positive outlook, and the next thing you know, there is a harvest. So we see there is the seed, which is your faith. There is the soil, see, which is the promise of God. You've got to find that promise. And then the watering it with the praises and so forth. And then, of course, the sunshine, your positive outlook, and then the harvest. Now, but here is something. So you cannot mix faith and doubt and so forth like that. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 8 tell us that if any man who is one to ask anything from the Lord, let him ask in faith without doubting. See, because if you doubt, he says you will not receive anything from the Lord. That's James 1, 6 through 8. But we are also told not when you want to plant, not to plant mixed seed. Mixed seed. So I'm going to read that to you in a minute. Leviticus chapter 19. Turn with me to, from Leviticus chapter 19 real quick. I want everybody to see this in the scriptures themselves. Leviticus chapter 19. And I'm going to read verse 9. And I will also read a verse in Deuteronomy which tells the same thing. Same thing. So, I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19. Ye shall keep my statutes, 19 and 19. Ye shall keep my statutes, thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not also sow thy field with mingled seed. Mingled seed. Neither shall a garment, you know, be mingled, linen and woolen together come upon thee. So we're talking about mingled seed. In case you don't understand that scripture, say, don't sow mingled seed in your garden. Now, in case you don't understand it, you know, let me read Deuteronomy chapter 22. That one will give a better insight to it. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. See, you cannot mix faith and unbelief. You can't mix up these two things when you want to sow the seed. See, now somebody says, you know, when you are believing the Lord, then you're going to hear, you know, some of you might remember the message some months ago on the voices of different kinds of voices. Then you're going to hear the voice of unbelief, the voice of reason, the voice of doubt, all kinds of different voices to try to get you away from the faith. See, but you must use your faith, and you cannot mingle it together with something else. It's not going to work. See? So when you have that pure faith, and when you sow it in the promise of God, and you combine it with praise, which is like watering it and so forth, then you're going to have a positive outlook, and the harvest is going to come. And when you get a harvest, here's what happens. Now, if you plant three little old seeds of corn, and you go through this whole process that we just described, how many of you know what happens when you get a harvest? Do you get back three little seeds? Anybody still with me this morning? When you plant these three little seeds of corn and you get a harvest in a few months, do you get back just three little seeds? No, you get back a whole, you know, grain full of, you know, there's different ears of corn that you get back and so forth. And if you cut those down and grain them off, you got back a lot of grain, and you can sow that again and much more. So that's how faith works. When you use your faith, it produces results and it gives you more faith. Praise the Lord. That's how it works. Now, but there are times when faith alone will not be able to get the job done. Now, even though faith is so fundamental, yet this same faith can grow into tremendous power. See, this is the same faith that Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. You know, at verse 8, when I come, shall I find faith on the earth? This is one of the things that the Lord is going to be looking for when he comes. I mean, it is so important. That's what he's going to be looking for. Is he going to have that faith? Is he going to find that faith? That's in Luke chapter 18. So yeah, he told the story there and so forth. And he tells them in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8 that when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find this faith? See, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, I mean, Jesus could have used any thing to say that that's what he'll be looking for. But he chose faith. See, he could have said, shall I find this, or shall I find that, or shall I find the other? But he says, shall I find faith? See, now that's how important this subject of faith is. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Now, Enoch, he walked by faith, and he was translated. Now, for us to be translated, we have to walk by faith. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, this faith, it can get so powerful, even though it starts out so small. See, that's what we're talking about in that chapter. Remember the message some months ago, little beginnings, greater endings. You know, a faith can start out so small, but it can become so potent when it is rightly used. Now, in Joshua chapter 10 and verses 12 to 14, turn with me. We see that this faith became so potent and so powerful. I mean, it was just regular faith to begin with, but it became tremendous force that could even move the heavens, that could do all of these great things. Here's what it says in Joshua chapter 10 and verses 12 through 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. Now Joshua, see, using his faith. Now I don't want you to think that Joshua just one day got up and went out and said, son, stand out still. It's not going to happen. He's been using his faith in other little things. See, he's been using his faith around his house. I want all the young people to listen to me. He's been using his faith everywhere, in school, at work, everywhere. You go, you use your faith. Now, Joshua, he said, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still. Now, this is potentially powerful faith. I mean, it can reach into anything. It starts small, but it is so potentially powerful. You can draw that faith out, and the Lord always goes where there is that faith. See, he is drawn to that faith. I'm going to read a verse of scripture to you on that in a minute. But Joshua, look at what he did. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. You know, the sun was about to go down. See, it was getting dark, and they needed to win the battle, and they couldn't do it when it was dark. So the Joshua, he commanded that there will be more hours of daylight. That sun will just stay there. Don't move. Just stand still until I finish my business. Amen. And he told even the moon to stand still. And the Bible says the sun and the moon, they stayed, and the people avenged themselves on their enemies. And it says, you know, and there was not a day like this after that or any before it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. See, now that's faith that's reaching out. God, he said to Job, can you bind the influences of the Pleiades? Can you call the sun and the moon? Can you tell them to stand still? Yes, sir, if you have the faith. You know, the Bible says, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Now, faith, here's what happens to faith. Jesus is always drawn to faith. He stops. He gets his attention. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And I've preached on this subject once before here. Mark chapter 10 And I'm just going to read one quick verse. I believe verse 49 of Mark chapter 10. Now this is the story of blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, that sat by the wayside begging in verse 46. And when, see, he, you know, this, he heard that Jesus was passing by, verse 47 of Mark chapter 10, he began to say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." So he began to call, see. Now he began, when he began to call, he was blind and he heard that Jesus, and he began to call. And the people that were around him, they charged him to be quiet. Don't make noise around the master, be quiet. They tried to stifle that voice, see. And he cried a great deal more, see, faith will not be denied. How many of you say amen?
Amen?
Faith will not be denied. He cried a great deal more, and he said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now, verse 49 is the place I want to read. And Jesus stood still. See, it always catches his attention. I mean, all the crowd and Jesus was going and so forth. When he heard that voice of faith, he stood still. Jesus came to a standstill. And boy, he couldn't move. He was arrested, if you mind, by that faith. See, the faith became so magnetic, Jesus was drawn to it. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You know, the faith was so magnetic, Jesus was drawn to it. And Jesus said, he stood still and commanded him and said, "Bring the blind man," and so forth. And when he came, he said, "Be of good comfort. What would you like me to do?" You know, and the next thing you know, the man, he has his sight. Praise the Lord. The man, he got his sight back because of his faith. Now, faith draws the Lord like that. But the companion of faith, which we are talking about this morning, which is praise, well, see, that's where the Lord lives, you see. Now, faith, it magnetizes the Lord, but the praise is where he inhabits and dwells. Now, that's Psalm 22 and verse 3 this morning. Psalm 22 and verse 3 say, "The Lord inhabits the praises." You know, so if you want God to dwell somewhere, build him a house of faith. Amen. A house of praise. I mean, you know, build that house of praise, you know, let your praises always go up to him, and he'll always be there. And you know that when he is there, there's always going to be miracles. Praise ye the Lord. So let's talk briefly about the praise and how it combines with faith to give you an unstoppable force. See, and this is what I want to, in a few minutes, this is what I want to challenge us about. See, you know, I'm going to be talking for the next few minutes about what they did in the early church. I mean, in the early church, these people were just ordinary human beings. You know, many of them were not even, you know, scholars. You know, some of them were fishermen, you know, this and that and what have you, and so forth like that. You know, but there was something extraordinary that was happening in their lives. See? I mean, they were ordinary men, but extraordinary things were happening. Now, there's a lot of ordinary people sitting here, including myself. We're all ordinary people. See? But extraordinary things can begin to happen in your lives. See, like the Acts of the Apostles, you know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, he says, and they went, see, this is what they did. They went everywhere and preached the gospel to everybody. And the Lord was walking with them and confirming the word. See, that's Mark 16 and verse 20. Confirming the word with signs following. Now, what does that mean? Yeah. What does that mean? That means you can go anywhere. You can go to the store. You can go down to Walmart today, you know, when you get out of here. See? And you might want to go out there to pick out a gift for your mom or whatever. And you can be there, and you can see somebody coming on a wheelchair, and you can say to them, just like Peter said, you know, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And do you know what kind of uproar that will cause in the city when a miracle like that takes place? And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. How God is going to anoint you with that same kind of faith when you let it be released. And how you will go about like Jesus and do all these great things like Jesus did and all the apostles and so forth like that. Now, so we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to combine that with our praises. And before I read that, I'm going to close with reading all of those things that they did in the Bible and so forth by their faith. Simple men. But before I do that, I'm going to tell you something, how faith alone sometimes, when you have faith, may not be able to get the job done, but how you bring the praise in combination with that. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Now this is the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, and chapter 20. And I've also touched on this subject before one time here. But today, I want to just, a couple of verses in 2 Chronicles 20. I'm just going to read verses 21 and 22. Now this story, you can read the whole chapter yourself. You know, but Jehoshaphat, he needed to go to war, and the other company was a lot more than them, and so forth. So they were afraid, you know. And here's what he did. Jehoshaphat in verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Now that's the phrase I want you to notice. See, he put the praise in front of the battle, not behind. How many of you can say amen? Amen. He didn't wait for the battle to finish and then he praised the Lord. No. He set the praisers. He appointed the singers to go in front of the battle. See? Now, so sometimes when your faith alone cannot get the job done, you do like Jehoshaphat did here. And let's see what happened. So as they went before the army and to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endure forever. Now let's all try that. That sounds good. Let's say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For his mercy endure forever. And the Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise. See, you know, I mean, the Lord all the time, these people had faith. You know, in fact, in verse 20, Jehoshaphat told them, believe the Lord, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you. So they had faith already, you know, but the faith alone wasn't getting the job done. Now, when they put the praise in there, it became an unstoppable force. When they put the praises of the Lord mingled with that faith, it was a dynamo of spiritual power. It moved, and God ambushed their enemies. And the Bible says, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, he set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And they, you know, the Lord, he smote all their enemies. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that's what they did when they put the praises of the Lord and they just combine it together like that. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Real quick. And we're going to do some praise and some worship here this morning before we get out of here. Now, I know we've been doing it, but, you know, you'll see why in a minute. And at midnight, you know, Paul and Silas, this was the story, they were thrown into jail in Acts chapter 16 and so forth. And at midnight, Acts 16 and 25, Paul and Silas prayed, see. Now, they did pray, see, and so forth like that. You know, but, you know, they were praying and so forth. They've been praying a long time. But when they began to mix the praises in there, see what happened. And when they began to sing praises unto the Lord, see, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. You know, now the Lord, the praises, see, as they were in prison and so forth. Now, what is your situation this morning? Is there something you've been praying about? You know, let's mix the praise with it this morning. Mix up the singing of the praise, and suddenly the Bible said there was a great earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. The praises broke the chains. The praises even cut through the gates and the bars of iron and so forth like that. The praises of the Lord, that's what it will do. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, when you take the faith and you take the praises together, boy, there is no stopping you there. Because the Lord, you know, If you don't get it with praise, the faith, you'll get it with the praise, one way or the other. See, if your faith doesn't get it, then your praise will get it. But one way or the other, you know, you'll get it, John, when you have put these two things together. Now, faith without works is dead. So we're talking about faith with action. We're not just talking about some kind of faith. We're talking of faith that is positive. You believe the Lord, see, then put it into action. And when we're talking of praise, we're also talking of praise that motivates you and gets into worship. You know. So, when you do all of these things, there is no stopping you. Now, let's see some examples of faith in everyday lives that they did in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, remember, I was seeking the Lord about this for the, what kind of culture? What do you want? You know, I mean, the church and so forth like that. And he said, faith. Well, you know, I would have said righteousness, all of these things and so forth, which we've preached, love and so on. You know, I would have said that. But he said faith. And I said, well, you know, one time the Lord also, he told me, you're forgetting your secret weapon. And I may have mentioned this one day. And I said, what is that, Lord? He said, your faith. I said, faith. I said, wow. You know, I was seeking the Lord for some things and so forth, and there were some challenges. It was about this church when we were getting started and so forth like that. And there were some challenges and all of that, you know, and one day I went out on a walk in the morning and so forth, and I was praying, and the Lord, you know, said, you're forgetting something. And I said, what is that, Lord? And he said, your secret weapon. Secret weapon? And he said, yes, your faith. And then I remembered, see, every time I go back to that faith, it always worked for me. So one time we preached a message in here about David and the lion and so forth like that. And he said, go back to the things that works for you. See, because David tried to put on the armor that, you know, Saul's armor and so forth, which he couldn't do. See, so but he went back to the thing that worked for him. See, he just took the brook, I mean the stones and so forth from the brook and all that. You know, so, but I know that faith always worked for me. See, and that faith can work for you. But especially, remember, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. So let's see quickly what they did. Acts chapter 3. Let's just see a few scriptures here of what they did. These were everyday people. You know, people look at their lives today and say they were the apostles of Jesus Christ. Well, maybe that's true. But they were ordinary people. They were nothing more than you and me. Now, in Acts chapter 3, here's the story of Peter and John going to the temple and so forth. They saw this man that was there, you know, he's always been there for a long time and so forth. You know, since, you know, he was born like that from his mother's womb, you know. And he always asked, you know, people for money as they went to the temple. He sat in the temple because he said, well, these are, you know, religious people, you know. So, you know, if they go in there, they'll give me something. So he was, you know, he always stood there. And then Jesus, he moved on Peter and John, see, to go into that temple that day, you know. You know, now, I want you to notice something here, because the Bible says that this man was born like that. He said, they laid him at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in verse 2. And the woman, I mean, from his mother's womb, like that. This man was a grown man now. How many of you know that this man was grown? You know, but he had been like that all the time. Don't you think that this man was there? Don't you know that this man was there when the Lord was there? Oh yeah, because look at what the Bible says. See, the Bible says that the man was like that from his mother's womb, and they laid him, and this man was a grown man, and this was just a few days after the Lord went away. So this man was at the temple. The Lord, he left this miracle for Peter and John. See, because he is going to show them something here. I mean, he could have done this. You know, the man was there all the time. See, but here comes John. See, and here comes Peter. And then when he got there, the man, he fastened his eyes on them, wanting to receive something. And he said, Peter looked at him and said, well, gee, I really can't give you money today because I don't have any. So the man was kind of disappointed. But Peter said, wait a minute, I've got something better. Praise ye the Lord. I have something better. So the man, you know, he probably looking like, well, I don't know what he's going to give me now. Can't give me money. What could be better? He said, he turned around to him and said, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, all of a sudden, this blind, I mean, this lame man and so forth, he was taken aback. I mean, this man, I just give me some money, and you know, I'll be fine. You know, sometimes people, they just want a handout, see. But the Lord, he has something better. You know, he said, no, I don't, you know, I want you out of that, you know, condition. That's what the Lord wanted. So he said, you know, and Peter, when he said, in the name of Jesus, I don't have money today, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I mean, Peter, and also, and Peter didn't give the man any chance to even think about it. He grabbed him by the hand. Because the man said, rise up and walk. I've been like this all my life. Peter said, you know, just took him by the hand. When he pulled him, snap, popular, and crack. Boom, sir. Moved into place, sir. Yeah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. These were ordinary men, Peter and John. They were ordinary men, and the next thing you know, there was an opera, revival, upside down, the whole place from that one miracle. That one miracle, a lot of people and so forth. You know, and Jesus and Peter, he preached a message to them that day. You know, once you get their attention by the miracle, then you tell them how to repent. You know, amen. Praise the Lord. Now you say Peter and John did that. Yes, you can do it too. And the Lord wanted me to challenge all of us, including myself. See, we can do these same things because these people were just using their faith. They didn't have anything more than what we have. See, in fact, we know a lot more today than they did. See, you know, because we've had the chance to read all of these scriptures, which many of them didn't even have. You know, all they did was just believe the Lord. You know, and look at it, you know, look at what happened, the miracle happened. And Acts chapter 5, let me run through this quickly. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Now, here are different things that begin to happen, even around Peter and so forth. See, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. See, so that even believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That's Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. In so much that they brought forth the sick unto the streets and laid them on beds and couches, so that at the very least the shadow of Peter, you say the shadow of Peter, yes, passing by might touch them. And there came a multitude out of the cities and so forth, bringing sick folks, and they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them. Now, what happened there? They heard that Peter was around. That's all. See? I mean, because they have heard, they've seen the miracle in chapter 3, which we just read. And the next thing you know, the news begins to spread like wildfire. They said, boy, you know, those guys are around again. Bring the sick. They will be healed. You know, even if he doesn't have time to pray for you, you just lay them on the street when he's passing by. Can you imagine that? I mean, have you seen miracles like that today? You know, they're saying that just let Peter pass by and his shadow alone will heal the sick. Well, you think Peter was the one doing that? No, Peter wasn't doing anything. Peter was just minding his business. But he had faith. And all that Peter did was to have the faith for that one miracle first, where he used his faith. And look at all the things that happened. The seed was a mustard seed to begin with. And look at all that happened after that. Peter used that mustard seed faith initially to say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the next thing you know, his shadow is even healing the sick. How many of you are still with me? If you don't use that little mustard seed faith, you will not going to get the greater works. People are looking for the greater works and so forth today. It's not going to happen unless you use that mustard seed faith. See, that's what Peter did. You know, before his shadow could heal the sick, he had to use his voice. He had to say by his own mouth, look, I don't know how I can help you, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And maybe Peter was a little bit, you know, I don't know, I've never seen this done. So he just grabbed the guy, you know, anyhow, you know, pulled him up. And the next thing you know, boom, the guy, you know, he's running all over the place. You know, so he used that faith one time. And then look at what happened after that. Even his shadow began to heal the sick. Peter didn't even have to he didn't have to do anything. He just had to be walking by. It was the people. Peter didn't advertise anything. Notice, they didn't have any radio, they didn't have any television, they didn't have any of these things going for them. Peter was just going about his business and people were getting sick, healed. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Now that is faith in action. It started with just a little faith that he had, and he used it correctly to heal the man at the beautiful gate, and then all these other things happened. Now, Acts chapter 6. I want to run through this very quickly. Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. This is talking about Stephen. And listen to what he said about Stephen. He says, Stephen, I want to make sure I have the right place here. Alright, Stephen, Acts chapter 6 and verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. See, the scripture describes in many places some of these apostles, they were full of faith. Well, we never heard so much about Stephen before this. You know, this chapter was the first place where we began to hear about him. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost is saying that this man is full of faith and power. See? And what did he do? He did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen, he wasn't even one of the apostles. He wasn't even one of the 12. I mean, we don't know where he came from, you know, but this man, he was full of faith, and look at all he did, miracles and wonders among the people. Praise ye the Lord. Now, Acts chapter 9, let me just quickly read through this. Acts chapter 9, verses 40 through 42. Now, here's Peter again. You know, there is this little girl that had died and so forth like that. You know, I mean, the young lady that, you know, made, you know, she did some clothing and so forth like that. And she had died. So they brought her to Peter and showed her all the garments that she used to make and so on. Verse 40, and Peter put them all forth, got rid of all the unbelief. And he kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the dead body, the body was already dead, he said, this was her name, Tabitha, which meant Dorcas. He said to her, Tabitha, arise. Now this was somebody that was dead. I mean, how could Peter know that he could raise the dead already? See, he used that faith at the beginning, the little mustard seed faith, and all of a sudden it's growing into something big now. His shadow is healing the sick. He's raising the dead. He's doing all these things now. He started with little works. Now he's doing the greater works. How many of you say amen? Amen. And you know, as soon as he said that, she opened her eyes. Oh boy. And she, you know, and he says, verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. These miracles are designed to help people turn their hearts to the Lord. In Acts chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. Let me read that real quick. Acts chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. Now you say, who were these people? Well, this is another one, little known. His name was called Barnabas. You know, I'm just showing you how these are ordinary people, you know. Ordinary people there, you know, nothing to them and so on for like that. You know, this one was called Barnabas, who when he came and he had seen the grace of God, Acts 11:23, was glad and he exhorted them all and with purpose of heart that they should cleave unto the Lord. You know, now, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Now, see, the Lord is reporting here, you know, we don't see Barnabas' name in, you know, Hebrews chapter 11, but it is right here. He's saying that he was full of faith. You see, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And through him, much people were added unto the Lord. I mean, this was just an ordinary person just like you and me. Praise the Lord. And in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. There is something that happened in the life of Paul. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought to the sick handkerchiefs or aprons and the diseases. What's a handkerchief? Like this? I mean, Paul had some of the, you know, they just say, look, just give me your handkerchief. Amen? Amen. This is what the Bible says. This is no goofy stuff. This is what the Bible says. They took his handkerchief or aprons or just little parts of his clothing. And the next thing you know, they brought them to people who had diseases, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Just from his handkerchiefs and so forth like that. You know, these were people, ordinary people and so forth, and they did great things for the Lord. Amen. Now, here's what I want to challenge us with. This week, and every week after that, but you start with this week. You know, when you leave here today, you'll be thinking about this message. You'll be thinking of how you can use your faith. See, when you get home and there's a situation, use your faith. Praise the Lord. Perhaps you have some stomachache, you know, before you reach for that Imodium AD or whatever it is, you know, use your faith. Praise the Lord. You say, well, Lord, you know, you said we can do this. So, you know, I believe it. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let the sickness move out of the way so I can go on about my business. And you know the Lord will do it for you. How many of you say praise the Lord? You know, when I was a little child, I was the age of 5 or 6 or something like that. I remember this so vividly. You know, I had heard about God doing great things and so forth like that. You know, this is to show you young people that you can do this. So one day I said to myself, well, you know, God said we can do all of this. You know, it was raining one day. I went outside. This is a true story. And I will have to answer before the Lord when I get before Him. You know, so anything I say here, I will answer for it. It's a true story. And I, you know, I was probably 5 or 6. And I said, you know, I heard about it somewhere. I don't know who told me that you can do these things, you know. But maybe sometimes you are born, you know, with faith or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, I went out there and it was raining. And I stood in the rain, a little child, just about 5 or 6 years old. And I said, I can't remember the exact words I said, but I just said something like the rain should stop. I was just a little child. And the rain stopped. I said, wow, this feels good. Yeah. So I said again, let the rain start. And the rain started. And I did that about 6 or 7 times, and I was just having fun, you know. And it was happening each time. And then I ran inside the house, and I told my older brothers, and they made mockery of the whole thing. You know, they just said, why, you know, it was just in your mind or whatever, or maybe, you know, something in this thing and so forth. But I knew in my heart that it was God. You know, and then from that day on, the Lord, He put that seed of faith in my heart. And I have believed the Lord, you know, and every time I can wield that faith, praise the Lord. Only if I don't want to believe it, but if I want to believe it, by the grace of God, I can believe it. And it can come to pass. And so can every one of us today. I don't care what it is, you know, when you leave this place today, all you little ones and so forth, if there's a situation that arises at your school or at home and so forth, use your faith. I saw on TV some months ago, and I saw they said a little church in the middle of nowhere. I can't even pronounce the name of the city. I mean, they are almost not on the map of the United States. Somewhere. And everybody in that church, see, their pastor came one day and just preached a simple message, you know, and they all started going into the stores and laying hands on the sick, and there was miracles everywhere, you know. And then, you know, they interviewed them. I think it was on CNN or somewhere that I saw it. And they interviewed them and said, what's going on here? And I looked at the people. They were just a bunch of ordinary people. Some of them were, you know, just not even dressed right, you know. But they were just going there, they believed the message, and they went out there, and they laid hands on the sick, and they healed the sick. One person went into, he was riding a line, it was in a grocery line, you know, and he was in a grocery line, and there was somebody, you know, right in the grocery line there. He turned around and prayed for somebody on the wheelchair, the person got up, and there was all kinds of commotion in there. And he said, wow, you know, and they said, you know, and they thought there was some great big thing. I said, no, you know, we just believe the scriptures. Praise ye the Lord. They just believe the scriptures. This was happening here in the United States. You know, I saw it on the news about 7 or 8 months ago. You know, and these things can happen anywhere. In this church, if we believe God, you can go out of here today and you can say to anything, yes, sick or whatever, lay your hands. You know, I want to challenge people, begin to lay your hands on the sick. That's right. Because the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick. And the sick will recover. Now, Jesus said that point blank. You know, now, so if you are not doing it, it means you are not believing it. And if he comes, shall he find faith? Are you ready for the Lord to walk through you? I mean, can you go and lay your hands on the sick? Now, if your mother is sick, you know, maybe sometimes she walked too hard and so forth like that. I want you young people, you go in there and you lay your hand on her. Praise the Lord. It's not the only, it's not always the other way around that parents only have to pray for the children. The children can pray for the parents. He didn't say only parents. There's no age to it. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't say they have to be a certain age. If you believe, you can go out and you can do these things. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And when you do these things, it will draw attention. You see, when you go out and you heal somebody in your school, and so forth like that, it will draw attention. You say, wow, what is that? And say, well, the Lord done. See, and then you preach to them. And then you say, you must repent. And then you must be born again. And they say, well, we want to hear some more about it. Say, well, come to church then. Then you hear some more about it. Praise ye the Lord. That's how it works. Now, I'm going to close this by the second portion of praise. And we're going to do some of it before we get out of here today. See, here's what the Lord promised. Turn with me to Amos chapter 9. And this is also in Acts chapter 15. He quoted this same chapter of Amos verse 9. Now here is what the Lord promised. I'm going to read it to you in a minute. Now the book of Amos, one of those what you might call smaller books right after Joel and so on. So Amos chapter 9, right after Joel, before Obadiah and so on. Amos chapter 9, here's what it says in verse 11. And in that day, which is today, because today is the day. Any day that God promised is today. Praise ye the Lord. Today is the day. In that day will I raise up the tabernacles of David that is falling. Well, what are the tabernacles of David? I mean, David was the man that knew how to use that praise like nobody else. I will raise up the tabernacles of David that is falling, and I will close the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as of the olden days. Remember that song on the old-fashioned way? He said he will do it again, as in the olden days. Now, the same chapter, the same verse of scripture is quoted in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 15, rather. And I'm going to read it from verses 16 through 18. And it says, after this, I will return and build again the tabernacles of David, which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof. And I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. Why is the Lord going to allow your praises and so forth to do great things? So that people might begin to seek after the Lord. See, say, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Praise ye the Lord. Now, you will get things done one way by faith. And you will get even more things done another way by praise. But when you put them together, here's what I wrote. I said it becomes an explosive magnetic dynamo of spiritual voltage. Praise the Lord. It becomes an explosive magnetic dynamo of spiritual voltage when you put those two things together. And boy, if you have that faith working in your life, God, he will answer your prayers. In fact, he will move on your behalf. He's magnetized to it. And the praises of God, that's where he dwells. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want the choir to please come. Now, if you are here this morning and you say, well, I've not been using my faith, or I've not been praising the Lord. Now, when I'm talking about praise, I'm not talking about praising the Lord here when we come to church. See, because we all do that. See, but I'm talking about when you are in your house. I'm talking about when something is getting on your nerves at home. I'm talking about when you're at school, when your co-workers and so forth are getting on your nerves, like Paul and Silas when they were in prison and so forth. They didn't wait until they got to church. When they were right in the prison, they began to sing the praises of the Lord. So I'm not talking about praising the Lord in the church. Now that's wonderful. And we're going to do some of it this morning. See, but I'm talking about, you are in the house, you are in the stores, you are everywhere. And the spirit of praise is upon you. See, and you're just praising the Lord. The Bible said the prisoners, they heard them. See, not just to praise the Lord in your mind. No, praise the Lord out loud. Let people hear it. See, some people say, I praise the Lord in my mind and so forth like that. Well, how is somebody else going to hear you then? See, now you praise the Lord with your mouth. You say it aloud. See, and then, the people say, well, why? You say, well, see, one time I said to somebody, I said, well, if you only knew what the Lord done for me. You'll be praising him too. Praise ye the Lord. They say, why are you praising? Well, you know, well, because he's done so much for me. Why should I worry about you don't like to praise the Lord? I'm going to praise the Lord because he's done much for me. Don't you worry about any law or anything that they have in the schools and so forth. You just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord anyhow. At any time, on the job, anywhere. You just say, praise him. You know, try it one day. You young people go to school one day and just stand there and say, whoa, hallelujah, praise ye the name of the Lord. I tell you what, you're going to draw some crowd. Now some people will not like it, but you will draw some crowd. And there will be some closet Christians that are in there already. They will say, wow, yeah, that was good. That was good. You have some people that will congratulate you for being bold. You know, yesterday when we were at the parking lot and so forth, some of the men came to me and said, wow, this is good. You know, I said, well, you know, yeah, you know, that's what the Lord told us to do. He said, yeah, this is, you know, we did it. And even the guy that, you know, the management person and so forth, he said, this is good. He said, we need this positive message and positive things and so forth. And we were out there, you know, just talking to people and so forth. And many of the one young man I saw, he said, I need some of this. I said, well, get in and do it then. What's holding you back? You know, so anytime you're out in the open and you do something, you know, like praise the name of the Lord openly, it'll draw some attention. And when it draws attention, then you can witness to them. That's what we did yesterday. We used the praise, the open praise, to draw their attention. And then they turn around and say, whoa, I'm going to see this sight. And then we say, well, the reason is the Lord Jesus. That's why we're happy. You can be happy too. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now let's lift up our hands and praise the name of the Lord. If you say this morning, I want to use this faith. And I want to use, you know, and I'm challenging every one of us here. You go out, you use this faith. I don't care what it is. Use your faith. Try it already. If you don't try, you don't know whether it's going to work. So you got to try it. You know, try the little seed, and then the next thing you know, it becomes a mustard seed that grows into big things. When you try the little faith, then greater things will follow. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's lift our hands and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you this morning, move upon the people. Move upon our hearts, Lord. Let the understanding of this message be in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every person here, young and old alike, help us to understand this message that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. That's what the Bible says. I can do all things. Everybody say, I can do all things. Through Christ that strengthens me. That's right, you can do it. I don't care what it is. Anything that confronts you, you confront it by faith and praise. And you will win every time. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, let this element of faith and praise overtake every one of us. In the name of Jesus. Let us believe the Lord with all our hearts. The Bible says that they went everywhere, preached to everybody, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs. They were ordinary people. Now, as you step out of here today, I want everybody to believe the Lord. Do something that you have not done before. Believe the Lord. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Freely you have received. Freely give. This is the commandment that he gave. He said, this commandment I have received of my Father. You see, and Lord, we have received this commandment of you that we should do these things. Help us to do these things for your glory. Not to draw attention to ourselves. But when you do these things, when the miracle happens, then you have a chance to preach to the people. That's what it's all about. It's not to draw attention to yourself. God is not glorified when you draw attention to yourself. But if it is to draw attention to Jesus, then he is glorified. And that's what we are talking about this morning. Draw attention to Jesus. Let the faith come alive in your life. And God will work signs and wonders. Father, walk the signs and wonders through the people, Lord, even this week, in the name of the Lord Jesus. This week, as we go, blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that the Lord is going to do great things now? Oh, yes. The Lord is going to do great things. Amen. Now, for the next few minutes, we will close by 1 o'clock. We have about 12 minutes. Manny, I told you we were going to do this at church today. Do it. You know, we did something at the thing yesterday. We were all rejoicing. You know, let's just make a loud noise. See, make a noise. Make a joyful noise before the Lord. You know, just make a lot. Just rejoice. You know, some of you are kind of, you know, when you come to church and so forth like that, you just kind of like stand around and so forth like that, watch others and so on. Loosen up this morning and see what the Lord will do for you.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So let's get some praise up in here. Remember that stuff you did yesterday? Let's get some praise up in here. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's do it. Come on, everybody. Just loosen up. Praise the Lord anyhow. Just praise the Lord anyhow. Praise the Lord anyhow. Oh yes. Come on, praise the Lord anyhow. Oh yes. Rejoice in the Lord.